Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everybody. This is your partner in success, Denise Griffiths. I am an online entrepreneur and I'm a virtual assistance industry expert. Today, I want to welcome you to the Online Entrepreneur Audio Interview Series. This is a great series. We've had a lot of interest in it. I created this audio series to provide you with practical guidance from other very successful entrepreneurs who can teach you the key secrets to how they build and grow their online businesses and the passion that drives them. My intention for this series is to empower you to achieve your dreams and live a successful and very accomplished life. I'm very excited today because I have the privilege of being joined by Rob Schultz. Rob is the creator of Audacious Audio. Wait till you see some of his work. Some of it just has me laughing out loud. It's just so creative and funny. Rob is also the creator of the 50-Day Online Radio Challenge, where he teaches you that with nothing more than a telephone and an internet connection, you can easily propel your online profile and your business profile into the stratosphere. So who better to have on an online radio show than an online radio expert? So today we will be talking about several different things. We're covering a lot of territory. You may want to take notes, but there will be a recording after, so you can go ahead and download it and listen to it again and again. It's going to be very, very informative today. Today we're going to be talking about the passive revenue blind spot that so many entrepreneurs have and what you can do, you know, what you can do to ensure that you're succeed and that you don't fall into those blind spots and then wander around and wonder what happened. So first of all, Rob, thank you so much for joining me. I'm very excited. It is truly a privilege to have you with us, and I appreciate your willingness to share with my listeners. I mean, they're always anxious to hear what my experts have to say. And audio and visuals, very, very important. We were talking about article marketing a little while ago. We're going to cover all of that, and I'm so grateful that you're here. So thank you, and can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how Audacious Audio came to be?
Yes, Denise, thank you so much. I am also extremely excited and really honored to be on your show, so thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you.
And Audacious Audio really came about, if you remember years and years and years ago, there was a Remington shaver ad where there was a guy who said, I like the shaver so much I bought the company. And I don't know if that's true, but that was kind of a tagline. And Audacious Audio really came about because I wanted to create passive revenue audio info products. And this was back about 6 years ago. And this was before, I mean, now there's so much that's out there that we can take advantage of. But in 2002, something like Blog Talk Radio was really almost like a dream. It would be free and you could get online and do a radio show. So I wanted to create products for myself, and what I found was that it was extremely technical and extremely expensive when I started doing some research into it. So I, being kind of a web geek, not a highly technical web geek, but I love trolling around online and finding resources, and I started putting together resources that would enable you to do this very easily and inexpensively. And I started saying to myself, well, people ought to know about this. So that's really where Audacious Audio came from. And it really has snowballed into that. And one of the things we were talking about earlier, Denise, was how the lines of content are now kind of bleeding together. You know, there isn't kind of video over here and print over here and audio over here because of social media and so many of the things that are happening now. A lot of these lines are all bleeding together, and we'll actually be talking about this a little later. So you can take something like an article and convert it into an audio, or you can take an audio and convert it into an article or a video. You can distribute it on a blog or Facebook. So what we're the power of this with the web nowadays is we can take one piece of content and we can leverage that into multiple different places. And if any of your entrepreneurs out there listening are like me, time is just at a premium. I mean, it's just, how can I do all this? So that's another one of the things we'll be talking about today. So that's kind of how the evolution of Audacious Audio started from this audio product creation company, and now has really, in order to serve, you know, my target market and my clients, it's really become, had to respond to the fact that these boundaries between media, these boundaries between product and content really are blurring, and I want the people who take advantage of my products and services to be able to leverage that.
And I look at it from a slightly different perspective. I agree absolutely with everything that you're saying, but from my perspective, I find that all of these things are absolutely necessary if you want to build a community, if you want to have people who follow you, who are fans, who appreciate your work, who share your work with others. It's an excellent, excellent way to create that sense of community, because by using all of these technologies, you're really sharing. You know, you're sharing what you know, you're sharing processes, you're sharing systems, and it may not be just where you can write it on a blog and say, okay, go do this. People just don't respond to that anymore. You really need to just kind of reach out and grab them, and this is the way to do it.
That's definitely true. And one of the exciting things about the online environment today is a lot of these environments, Facebook, article directories, even a lot of the tools, that even something like YouTube, it's not just a place to put your stuff, so to speak, but built into that environment, and most of them, by the way, are free environments. They don't cost you anything. Built into it are the tools to create a community around your content. So you're not you're not putting something out there and saying, oh, my God, is someone going to see it, or having to pester people, hey, look at me, I put this thing on my blog, go take a look. Built into these communities, Facebook, YouTube, and so many of the tools are literally, it's built into the environment. You cannot not do that. And like you said, it's so important to be able to have your content take advantage of that.
Right. So I know we have a lot to talk about, and we're probably going to wind up talking fast. There's just so much I want to share. I know that we're talking about profit plans, and you're telling me that there's 70% of an equation that can sink your profit plans. That's a bold statement, and I would love for you to explain that. Okay. I mean, I know what you're talking about, been there, done that. But I also know that a lot of my listeners who are brand new to either becoming an online entrepreneur, or they want to grow up to be an online entrepreneur, or they're new coaches or they're new virtual assistants, and they're focusing on a lot of other things, and they're not really looking at a profit plan. They're just looking at getting clients and customers. So can you explain that?
Yes, I can. Now, when I say the missing 70%, it may even be more than that. And what that involves is when entrepreneurs first are looking to get into business, creating a product, like a passive revenue product, a live event, a teleseminar event, or a service, they're constantly thinking about what they're offering, and that's really where the focus is. And this is also where the paradox is, because it tends to be, you have to have that, but you also need an audience. So the 70% really involves around building an audience, building your connection with that audience, an audience that likes you, that likes your message, and wants the benefits that you offer. And it's a laser way to say it is the who is just as important or even more important than the what.
I think it's more important.
Exactly. An experience I had very recently I took a survey of my list, and I would urge any of your listeners out there to use a tool like SurveyMonkey at SurveyMonkey.com, SurveyGizmo at SurveyGizmo.com. Denise, you're the VA expert. You may even have better resources than that. That's what I use.
Mm-hmm. And those are good ones.
Survey your audience. You can do it for free. If you want more features, it's a very nominal monthly fee. I think it's like $19 or $20. I surveyed my audience, and I found out, actually from them, that this is what they were concerned about. I surveyed them, and I thought, you know, Rob, what microphone do I use, and how do I create products? They were concerned about building an audience. So basically, I just met them. I saw that they were a train moving down the tracks, and rather than trying to be creative and ingenious, I just got in front of that train. Now, this is a good train. This is not a train that's going to hurt you. This is a train that's going to love you and allow you to help people and fill your bank account with profits. So I just got in front of that train and provided what they needed. I built my audience. I connected with them. And the product I created was the product we'll be talking about a little later in the show, the 90 Articles in 90 Days Traffic Challenge, because that's what they were looking for. They were looking for a way to build their audience and to do it without kind of a lot of geek stuff and highly technical requirements, and that's one of the things that articles can do. So that 70% is, yes, focus on your service, focus on what you offer, focus on building and communicating value. But you also have to identify your audience, connect with that audience, and build that audience.
Well, here's the thing, and I tell this to people all the time. They will call me and say, I've got this wonderful idea for a product. And I start asking them the pertinent questions. Do you have a list? Do you have an e-zine? Do you have a newsletter? How well known are you on the internet? Have you branded yourself? Does anybody know you? That's the big question. Has anybody ever heard of you? Because if they don't know you, they're not going to buy something from you. It's pretty simple. On the internet, you really, really have to brand yourself, and you have to go back to that, you know, what you were talking about a few minutes ago. You absolutely have to have that audience, that warm audience. Otherwise, you've got a product, but you've got nowhere to go with it. You really have to take that time and build out your plan and build out your community and build out all these connections and contacts.
Definitely.
Otherwise, you've done nothing. You've wasted your time.
You are so on target, and it's interesting that you mentioned that specific statement, I have a product or I have a great idea for a product. And generally when someone tells me that, I usually say, and that's great, how many of these are you going to buy from yourself?
Hey, I like that. I may borrow that, may I?
You sure can.
Thank you.
Because it's important, and a lot of times they pause, and then I say, and when you figure out a way to do that and make a profit, let me know, because then I'll become your client. Because I'd really like to know how I can buy. See, you do need that audience.
Absolutely. I mean, you can have brilliant ideas all day long, but if you're talking to the cat who's sitting in the corner, how is this going to make you any money, and how is it going to get your message out there? And I always operate under the assumption that if you're building a product or a system, it's because you believe so passionately in its benefits to other people that you want to get the word out. This is why you're doing it. You're not doing it to make money. If you are, you're probably not going to make money. It's just kind of the way things work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really passionate, really excited, and you know that you've got something that is going to be of absolute benefit to other people, find those people and then offer the product.
And when you do that, it's amazing how much easier and quickly your products can help build your business.
Mm-hmm. And that leads us into the crucial ways to boost the audience for your products. So, you know what, and you may, let me ask you this, go back to passive, let's just back up a tad. There may be one or two people who are brand new to this, and we get a lot of brand new people who are just, they're looking to learn everything they can, and they listen to people like you and me and other coaches and other VAs, and they soak up everything. What they may not know, and if you could explain it just really, really quickly, is what passive revenue is.
Sure. Passive revenue is really when you set up a product, or it's generally a product because a service, you actually have to be there delivering it. And it enables you to sell that product and offer value and offer expertise without actually you having to be there to deliver it. So, for example, if you create a product and put it online on a website, you can be, it can be 3 in the morning, you can be fast asleep, and someone in another part of the world buys that product. you know, you set up the pipeline, so it's not entirely passive. But once you set up the pipeline, how you're going to sell it, your web page, your shopping cart, some of those things, it becomes passive because then 24/7 people can purchase it without you having to be there.
Right. And that's where we go into products. So once somebody has their product, they have their audience, they have, you know, they have somebody across the internet who is following them and is appreciative of their efforts. How do they boost the audience? You know, they've got a small audience. They're gaining momentum every day. What do they do to boost their audience for their services or their products?
Denise, that's a great question. There are actually a couple ways I've found. I actually had three ways written down, and it's kind of growing, but I'm going to try to keep this focused. There are really a couple primary ways that you can begin to really boost the audience for your products. Now, we're in this age of kind of multimedia and video, and I think one of the ways people shoot themselves in the foot is they get too complicated too quickly. And they think, well, if, you know, Joe or Josephine Guru over here is creating 10 videos a week, then I have to too. But, you know, Joe or Josephine Guru has been in business for 10 years, and they have a staff, and they can afford to pay people to do this, where a lot of us can't. So I always urge people to start off with what is accessible and simple, and one of the ways to do that is with articles. Articles, even in this age of, you know, multimedia, articles are still powerful as long as you know how to write them. Now, when I speak about articles, I'm really talking about article marketing. And article marketing is different than just writing articles, because what you're doing when you market yourself with articles is you're setting up, I always like compare it to kind of Hansel and Gretel, the whole story of Hansel and Gretel when they were in the forest and they laid out this trail of breadcrumbs. I mean, this is kind of sappy, but it's true. It is the way they were going to find their way home. And I, you know, it's been ages since I read that story, but I guess the birds ate the breadcrumbs, so they got lost in the forest. And what you need is you need a trail of breadcrumbs so that your clients can find you, your future clients. Because right now there are people out there looking for exactly what you have to offer. So your articles, they're not just kind of pontification articles. You know, because we look at people like Seth Godin and, you know, all these kind of people who've written. Yeah, exactly.
He is.
And they pontificate a lot, but they can do that because they have their audience already. So we want to become Seth Godin, and it doesn't work for us because we have to put the cart before the horse. We have to take first things first. So what articles do are they present your audience with the things they are really looking for, what they need to have in the next week, in the next 2 weeks, in the next month. And at the end of your article, there's usually something called a resource box that tells a little bit about you. It usually makes an offer for a freebie. And then they click through to your website and sign up for your mailing list. Once they're on your mailing list, you can pontificate all you want, but the article marketing, it's article marketing. It's not platform building necessarily. It's not, you know, Pulitzer Prize winning. You're marketing with articles. So they're short, concise tidbits of information that get people to say, whoa, I want more of that, and gives them a link so they can click through and sign up basically for your mailing list. The second medium is multimedia. This is audio. This is video. Online slideshows. There's a wonderful site called slideshare.net where you can upload your PowerPoint presentations. And, you know, it's the simplest form of multimedia. It's like no-brainer multimedia. You go to slideshare.net. You don't need a webcam, and you don't need to be on camera. It's just PowerPoint. Or if you're on a Mac, SlideShare also takes a keynote presentation. So you can do PowerPoint and upload it, and people can click through. It's simple, easy multimedia. There are also different ways of getting audio online. I mean, this platform, Blog Talk Radio, is amazingly powerful. Denise and I'm calling in on my phone. I'm not sitting here at my heavily geeked out, you know, tricked out computer system with a microphone and a transmitter. I'm on a telephone. Denise may be on a telephone or a computer headset. I don't know how she's connecting. But Blog Talk, once we register and set up the show platform, Blog Talk records it. They set up the podcast. With a couple clicks, Denise can actually distribute this radio show on Facebook, on her blog. If you fall in love with Denise, which you should, and you want to distribute her radio show, if you go to her webpage on the right side, there should be a little box that says promote this show. You can click on that, and there will be HTML embed tag or there are little icons where you can embed Denise's show in your Facebook profile. So multimedia is becoming simpler. You know, there's still a little bit of a learning curve, but it's becoming simpler. The third thing that kind of ties all this together, and it's what Denise so profoundly mentioned at the beginning of the show about building a community, is social media. Social media, you know, Facebook. Basically, what social media is, are online websites or communities that facilitate interaction and building of connections really with unprecedented speed. And simply by, and it's not really anything you have to do, but simply by injecting yourself into a social media environment, and there is effort. You know, this isn't just you show up and you eat nachos all day. There are things you have to do. But the environment is set up so that you don't have to constantly broadcast to people, hey, I have a workshop or I have this coming up. The environment itself is set up so that once you make your connections and join groups and friend people, so to speak, you create friends, people who want to hear what you have to say, when you post something or when you do something, it's automatically broadcast to people. So we have articles, which is a great place to start, article marketing. So you're being very specific. You're not pontificating. You're offering content your audience wants to hear. And then leading, have breadcrumb trail. The next step is to go to your website and generally opt in to a mailing list. And generally, you do want to offer them a freebie of some sort, a free report or a free audio. It can be a free report, very simple. Multimedia, which is, you can even take that same article content and create multimedia from it because you want to leverage your time. And then social media, which takes our content and provides an environment where we can make these lightning-fast connections. And the fourth one that I kind of came up with is what I call repurposing. Repurposing, that means leveraging your content. It doesn't mean that each time you create a video, you create it from scratch. It means you create content one time, like an article. You post it to an article directory. You post it to your blog. You record it and make an audio from it. You create a PowerPoint presentation from it and upload it to SlideShare. So it's repurposing. You take one piece of content and you develop systems, you know, very simple, of creating this content. So let's say Monday I may schedule, okay, I'm going to spend an hour to write an article. Tuesday, okay, I'm going to spend an hour creating a PowerPoint presentation of that article. Thursday, I'm going to take an hour, and Thursday is distribution day. So the article goes to the article directory, goes to my blog, the PowerPoint presentation goes to SlideShare. And then you do it all again. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you do this every week, 52 weeks a year, by the end of the year, you have content, and it's amazing. So you're repurposing.
Well, and here's the thing about so many of these different venues that you're talking about. They're all viral, and that content remains out on the Internet. Somebody else picks it up. They may talk about it in their blog. You get a track back all of a sudden from somebody you've never heard of, but now you've got a new audience. And it just stays out there. And I will find with my blogs, and I know you find this too, is you may have posted something a year ago. All of a sudden somebody finds it, and they think it's great. You know, it's relevant to whatever's happening in their life right then and there. And all of a sudden you've got a new audience for something that you did a year ago. So I would kind of like to add this to the equation. Never just put these things out there and then not go back and repurpose them again later on in your career. Don't leave them alone, because they were brilliant enough to put up the first time. They're brilliant enough for a second and a third and a fourth look.
That's so correct. And dovetailing on that, you also want to let people know what you're doing. One of the things you mentioned earlier, when people come to you and say, I have a great idea for a product, there's kind of this myth that all I have to do is create it, and if I'm passionate enough about it and I love it enough about it, that'll be enough. And in some cases, that may be true, but in most cases, you need to get out and let people know that this exists, and you need to get out. You need to, I think Denise referred to earlier, it's part of creating your community. You're injecting yourself into these environments. You're putting yourself out there in such a way that people begin to irrevocably identify you and your subject as one and the same. And I want to say this again because it's really important, that when you get this out there virally and when you continue to let people know it's out there, what you're doing is you're creating a connection between you and what you do and who you help. So when people think of, I need to get a product made, or when people think of, I have this business growing and I can't do it all myself anymore, they're going to think of Denise Griffiths. You know, it's just going to be boom, boom. It's like Babe Ruth baseball. You know, it just, that's what you want to do. And that's what this viral effect can do. And when you're willing to put in some work and not just go, because the dream is with the dream with viral video is you put it out there and, oh, it takes off, and then I'm on the Today Show and I'm on Oprah, and that really doesn't happen anymore. But when you put it out there and it does start, the viral effect does start, and you push it, you let people know where it is. You continue to inform people where it is. You put it, you know, you post it in a bunch of different places. You don't need to be on Oprah and you don't need to be on the Today Show. You can do just fine with a much smaller community. In fact, probably if you did get on Oprah or the Today Show, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Not personally, but the cataclysmic amount of attention in business, you would it would become too much.
You'd hit a wall. Yeah,
you would.
You would not have prepared like Hansel and Gretel did. You would not have prepared for what's going to happen at the end of that particular road. And
correct.
By the way, when you say breadcrumb, I get a little smile. That's actually a technical term now, breadcrumb.
Oh, really?
Software engineers use this. My husband's a software engineer, and I'm a web developer, so we're both very, very technical. And breadcrumb is actually a highly technical term.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Thought I'd share. There you go. So you've talked about a lot. This is very important stuff. I have a lot of virtual assistants who come to me and say, I don't know how to market myself. I don't know how to market my clients. Huge problem. Huge problem. And I need for them to do everything that you're telling them to do. So I hope they're all listening. What do all of these different means that you've been talking about, what do they all have in common? What is one particular, to say one sentence that we could tie all that together for them?
Okay, and this is great because it really dovetails into what we've just been talking about, is, and it also gives us a chance to define something. What they all have in common is they have this viral distribution mechanism built in. It's built in, and it requires very little effort for your message to proliferate. And again, this is, I want to define viral too, because there's a lot of kind of myth and misunderstanding about what is viral. Viral is basically word of mouth. It's basically putting something out there and then allowing it. It's almost like when other people do the work of marketing for you. In a typical marketing launch, like if you're launching a product, generally what happens is you will get a response. but you will get a response in direct proportion to the amount of effort you're putting into your promotion. And as soon as you stop promoting, you will stop getting buyers, you will stop getting attention. That's generally how a traditional promotion works. A promotion or getting your information out there virally, it's almost like hitting a golf ball on the moon as opposed to hitting a golf ball on the planet Earth. You hit a golf ball on the planet Earth, if you're a good golfer, it goes 300 yards and it stops. If you hit a golf ball on the moon, it just keeps going and going and going. So with a viral mechanism, what you're doing is you're enlisting other people who spread their message for you. Now, how does this happen? And Denise earlier in the call spoke about passion. This is where passion comes in, because your passion is like a hidden code. And people who aren't passionate about what you're passionate about will read your articles, will see your video, will interact with you on a social media level and go, eh, what's that about? But people who share your passion, it's like when you meet someone at a party and you find out you're interested in the same thing. It's just like, whoa, you're off to town and you have this great conversation. That's what a lot of these environments, article marketing, multimedia, social media, have in common is they provide an environment where all of this is actually built in, and you do have to put some effort into it, but it's like hitting a golf ball on the Earth as opposed to hitting a golf ball on the moon. When there is a viral mechanism, which is what all these avenues have in common, built in, the same amount of effort goes much, much farther. And in fact, there have been some very humorous stories from marketers who have put things out virally and then changed their business and can't stop. You know, it's like, I'm not doing that anymore. Stop, you know, trying to buy my product. You know, they'll get emails, I'm looking for this ebook and the website isn't there anymore. Well, I stopped creating it 3 years ago.
Allie Brown is a great example of that. She's so huge that some of her products, if you really, really want them, you cannot find them. They're gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and one thing that we really need to kind of touch on here too is, when you are creating these communities and you are creating, you know, going into these different social environments, you get to meet people that you just would not meet otherwise. And this is a great example. I would not get to meet Rob unless I had been introduced to him by Donna Kozik and Adam Urbanski. I would not. We live on opposite sides of the country. The chances of running into each other in Walmart are very slim. And I wouldn't know you I don't go to Walmart, but it's an example. I'd rather be hit by a truck than walk into a Walmart. I don't like to shop. If it doesn't come to me by the internet or by UPS, I don't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here's the thing about doing the kind of work that we're doing. And when you're on the internet, it is so viral. And if you go into these different social environments, you get to meet the neatest people. I have met some incredible people, my present guest included, that I just wouldn't have the opportunity. And I have to tell you, that's exciting. I get to meet and chat with people. I get to, you know, talk with thought leaders such as Rob. And when I'm done with these calls, I can't even talk. I'm writing so fast. It's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. I'm exploding with ideas. My creativity goes through the roof. Wouldn't happen otherwise. So really take advantage of what we're talking about here and get out there and start meeting people. And go into mastermind groups if you need to. Ask questions. Ask for help. People do want to help you. Online entrepreneurs, in my book, are very, very generous people. So, you know, there's just so much to learn from one another, and I think that this is the perfect time to just get together and learn and teach.
I think, so, you know, that is extremely accurate, and even if you're not, you know, a lot of people, in fact, myself included, you know, oh, my God, Facebook, you know, I don't network well and I don't, you know, meet people or whatever. You know, it's something else I have to learn. But what these environments help you to do is to put forward whatever you do well. And, you know, part of this content creation is, again, it's you're really lasering your message. And you're lasering your message and putting it out there. And the people who resonate with that will, these environments make it much easier for them to find you.
Well, all of that being said, let's teach people how to write these content articles, because they are very, very important. A lot of people, and I know you hear this, I hear it every day, either through an email or in a direct conversation, I don't know how to write. I'm not good at it. You know, it's not something that I really want to do. I want to get my message out, but I'm not really good at writing. So where can they go to find, you know, really hot content topics that they're interested in, that they can laser in on, repurpose, and put out there?
Okay. Well, that's a great question, and I have a couple ideas, one of which I'm hopeful that every person listening to this will be able to take advantage of to generate some great ideas. Now, when I say idea, this is, again, what differentiates article marketing and a lot of the other forms we've been talking about from just writing. And even when you're creating an article, very similar to when you're creating a product, it's like, I have a great idea for an article. And again, it's like, no one's, you know, people aren't buying your article, but it's like that old saying, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound if there's no one around to hear it? If, you know, an article is written and submitted to an article directory, is it really an article if no one is around or interested in reading it?
That's just it. You've wasted some time.
Yes. So one of the things that is important to do with article marketing is to ensure, again, that set up that breadcrumb trail. And to set up that breadcrumb trail, what you're writing about has to be current enough, has to be top of mind, top of to-do next for your readers to click through to your website. So a couple ways to do that. We spoke about earlier, survey, if you have a list, survey your list. It is how I found that my list wanted to write articles, and I created the Article Traffic Challenge, and it's been very, very successful. Another really interesting place to find ideas of what your audience is looking for is in forums or online groups. Now, there's a really important thing to note here. This is not a group of your peers unless your target market includes your peers. I'm going to say that again, because a lot of us, you know, if we're coaches, we may coach dentists, but we love hanging out in coaching forums and talking shop. But you're not going to, you may get some ideas, but you're not necessarily going to find out what dentists are looking for. So hang out in forums where your target market hangs out. And there are a couple ways you can spot hot topics. Number one is which topics, let's go with dentists. Let's say your target market is dentists. Which topics, and a lot of times these forums will actually have a number next to each topic of how many responses that topic has received. Now, if a dentist has an issue and no one has responded to it, that's a really good indication that dentists aren't really interested in this. If a dentist posts a question or an issue and 80 people respond to it, that's a good indication, there's something there. So you can go into a forum and look at what people are responding to and see what people are responding to. Another thing some forums have is a lot of times next to a topic that is a very hot topic, they'll have a little flame icon. And I used to stay away from that because I always thought that meant that the people in this forum were having what is called a flame war, which is very inflammatory and calling each other names. And the flame, I thought, meant that, you know, if you're not into really intense emotional discussion, stay away. But in a lot of forums, that little flame doesn't mean, I mean, it means people are passionate, but it also means it's a hot topic. So that's one way to two ways to identify. The third is a lot of forums have a very specific area where you can promote yourself or where you can make offers. Go into the promotion area of the forum and find out which offers people are making are getting a heavy response. Now, this is going into the promo area is an area where this is where you would go into a forum with your colleagues. So in the first instance, you're going into a forum where your target market hangs out and you're looking at what's the hot topic. The second instance, you're looking at a forum where your colleagues hang out and you're going specifically into the offer part of the forum and you're seeing which offers are creating a response, which offers have traction. And that's a good idea. So it's kind of a very inexpensive way to do market research. Another really great way to find out through forums what people are seeking help with is most forums have a search function. So this third instance, you're going to go back to the forums where your target market hangs out. And you're going to do a search for some of the following search strings. Number one, I need help with. Number two, I am at the end of my rope. Number three, please help, urgent. Number four, does anyone know how to? Number five, I am having a problem with. Now, we could probably spend a half hour going through these, but these are five that this is when people are having a problem, this is what they usually start off, or somewhere in their post is, I need help with, I'm having a problem with. So you do a search, and you'll find out what people are having problems with. It's kind of a cool little trick to find that. You could also do a Google search, I'm having a problem with, and then put whatever it is that you specialize in. I am having a problem finding a virtual assistant. I'm having a problem, whatever it is that you're doing. Sometimes Google will return results on that too.
Right. This is really good information. And I know when I first started out, I spent a lot of time on forums. I didn't necessarily, because I was rather shy about sticking myself out there on the internet, so I didn't necessarily participate, but I did a lot of what is called lurking. You know, I took a lot of notes, I watched, I listened, mm-hmm. you know, and I learned a lot, but I didn't necessarily let anybody know what I was up to, which probably was not the smartest thing. I think I would have been a lot further ahead a lot quicker if I had really just said, this is what I do, this is what I'm passionate about, this is what I have to share, what do y'all think about it, and get some feedback, and I didn't, so shame on me. So I hope y'all don't make that mistake. Don't be shy. Take a deep breath. Tell people exactly who you are, what you're passionate about, and better yet, what you're expert at. They'll appreciate it. They really will. People want to know what you do. They want to know what you're expert at. Mostly, they want to know where you can help them. If they don't know that you're really good at what you do, how are they going to ask you questions? How are they going to communicate with you? So, you know, absolutely do these things. Now, Rob and I were talking before the show started about a technique borrowed from TV sitcoms, and I started laughing because I've never really been a TV watcher, but you know those childhood shows kind of stick in your head. I love Lucy. I think she was a goddess. My husband hates her. What are you going to do? But mm-hmm. you know, what we were talking about that, and I'd really like you to speak to that because I thought it was hilarious. And what you were telling me is that there's a technique that you've used to double and triple your content output. Very, very important. So can you share that?
Sure. This is really extremely powerful because, again, it leverages what we were talking about earlier. Don't reinvent the wheel, especially if you don't know what you're going to talk about or you write a couple articles or you put a couple posts out there, and then you feel like you're stuck. Now, this is a technique in TV sitcoms. Years and years ago, and I'm going to date myself a little bit here, there was no, you know, this is going to sound like ancient history. There was no cable TV. And there were the three major networks, and that was it. So the whole kind of entertainment TV sitcom thing, it was much closer knit. You know, people... if it wasn't on the three major networks, it didn't exist. There wasn't ESPN. It wasn't as big and diverse as it is today. And back years ago, when I was just a little wee child, there was this television series called All in the Family. It was extremely popular, and extremely popular when there are only three television networks is very different than extremely popular when there are 800, you know, networks, the Food Channel, the Shopping Channel, etc. So this was extremely popular. Now, what happened with All in the Family is there were certain... Now, this is a very powerful marketing, not just for creating content, but creating products. There were certain characters on All in the Family people resonated with. The lead character in All in the Family, one of them was this guy named Archie Bunker. He had an acquaintance named Maude, who they were politically diametrically opposed, and they always clashed. And I guess people liked Maude. So Maude got her own series. Okay? Now, Maude had a domestic help in the house, a maid named Florida. And Florida was very humorous. She was very wise. People liked Florida. So Florida got her own show. Florida had a son who I believe was the comedian J.J. Walker, who was very, very funny. J.J. Walker got popular. He got his own show. So what we're talking about is we're talking about spin-offs. So the technique that can triple or, I mean, triple may even be underestimating, is spin-offs, not only for your products, for your content. And I'm going to give you a quick formula to show you how to do that. In the article traffic challenge, when people sign up for that, we give them 20 article templates that you can basically create templates from. Now, I'm going to give you one of the templates right now, very quickly. It's what I call the three crucial keys template. And basically what you do is you provide three crucial keys to creating an online radio show, doubling your traffic, doubling your income, losing weight, becoming happier, finding the love of your life, whatever it is. So let's just say the three crucial keys to creating a dynamite online radio show. Key one, survey your audience. Key two, find out what your audience is hot for. Key three, create a radio show that caters to what they're hot for. Okay, so those three keys, you take each of those keys and you write a three keys article about that key. So the first key was survey your audience. Okay, so an article, three keys to survey your audience. The second key was finding topics that your audio is hot for. Three keys to finding topics your audience is hot for. The third key was create a radio show around that topic. Three keys to creating a radio show around topics your audience is hot for. Create three keys for each of that. And if you're really passionate and if you find something that is golden, you can take one article idea and just by doing through the three keys of the three keys of the three keys, this can go on forever. The TV sitcom, how many millions of dollars were made? How many children were put through college because it went from All in the Family to Maude to Good Times, which was the Florida show, to the J.J. Walker show? You know, how much money was made? How many kids were put through college? You know, how much money was donated to charity because of that spinoff?
Because of one idea.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so what?
And that makes perfect sense. And that goes back to don't ever abandon something that you wrote or created because you may look at it differently a few months down the road or a year down the road.
Yeah.
You may look at it with fresh ideas and go back and spin it off in your own for yourself.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? You know, just the three steps. You know, just keep taking your stuff and just building, growing, evolving.
And actually using that formula, because a lot of times when people are trying to generate high volumes of content, and one of the things about article marketing is volume helps. The amount of stuff you're putting out there, especially when it's targeted to your market, is very helpful. So a lot of people say, well, I can write one article or I can do one video, but how do I do 10? And this is a way, it's a no-brainer, because all you're doing is you're taking an existing idea and you're just drilling deeper and deeper and deeper into that one idea. So literally that one idea spawns 50.
Exactly.
And you don't have to be brilliant to figure this out. You just have to apply the three crucial keys formula to each crucial key you come up with.
I think that is an absolutely brilliant idea. Like you say, you don't have to be brilliant to do it, but it's a brilliant idea. And I do use it, and I'm going to absolutely insist that my VA team and my web development team do it as well. And shame on me. And just because I use it, it didn't occur to me that I need to have them look into this as well. It's funny. You know what you know, and you don't always think to share it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really grateful that you pointed out to me that I'm missing a key component in my training, and I will absolutely be implementing this again. Thank you.
Terrific.
So one thing I would like you to do, and I do have one other question, but you're talking about the article marketing. Can you speak to that very quickly, the program that you're launching?
Sure. Yeah.
And the reason I'm asking is I'm looking at my chat room, and you ought to see the activity in there. I'll probably cut and paste and send it to you. The topic, 100% of the topic, well, there's a couple little sidelines here, is article marketing, and they're very, very interested. You're talking about lurking in the chat room. They're very interested in the chat room, hi guys, about article marketing. So they want to know, and one of the questions that caught my eye is, how do you interject humor into your articles, which I think is kind of funny. I love to write, but I have to rein back my humor because not everybody appreciates it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the opposite problem that I do, but can you speak to how you can train people to do this article marketing? Because it's very, very important, and they're pretty interested in there.
Okay.
And if we have time, I'll log some of the people in so they can ask you.
Sure. Yeah. What I'm doing is actually, it's Article Traffic Challenge 2. It's the second version.
The first version
was very, we ran it in July, and it was very successful. We had about 115 people who signed up for it. People of all levels, people who'd written articles before, people who never thought they could, people who were terrified of writing articles. So it's really geared towards wherever you're at, there's value there. And really what it is, it goes on for approximately 90 days. There are, and what it, the real benefit of it is what you will learn to do is, number one, to just do it. Because a lot of times we really make this more complicated than it needs to be. And especially with article marketing, the good news about article marketing is, again, it's not Pulitzer Prize winning. It's about writing short, concise, powerful, value-packed nuggets of articles, 350 to 500 words. Short, you're in, you're out. And that's all people have time for. So writing them quickly, getting them out there, using the proper format and technique so that they come down to your resource box, they learn about what you have to offer, they learn where they can take advantage of it, they click through, and generally what you do is they sign up for your mailing list. And basically, we teach you simple ways to start making that happen. And once that foundation is in place, we also begin to work with you to take that to the next level. There are lots of different ways you can increase your expertise through multiple article submission, through different submission engines, through repurposing your articles into Facebook, making videos from your articles. There's some tools in Facebook where you can literally import your blog into the notes area of Facebook. So you can post on your blog, and that blog post immediately gets posted into Facebook. So there are a lot of areas where you can really leverage your knowledge, and the Article Traffic Challenge provides the environment to do that. And it starts Wednesday the 21st. All the sessions, it's done by a teleseminar. All the sessions are recorded, so if you have a scheduling conflict, it's not a problem. We have a woman from Denmark who has already signed up for it. Obviously, it's going to be 3 in the morning in Denmark when this class happens. So she's taking the whole class virtually, but just to basically learn how to leverage content into building your audience. For the next about week and a half, up until the 19th of January at 9 p.m. Eastern, it is $197. So it's a great deal because basically there are 6 sessions. About 1 hour to an hour and 15 minutes. There are 2 bonus sessions where we go into creating products from your articles, creating social media from your articles, and also creating audio and video from your articles. And then there are 2 what I call Q&A Article Action Coaching Days, where basically we get together for an hour, hour and 15 minutes. I clam up and I just answer your questions. It is interactive. There is, in each session, there is an opportunity to ask questions. The website is articletrafficchallenge.com. That is articletrafficchallenge.com. And again, the course starts Wednesday the 21st, 2009. If you scroll down to the bottom of that website, all the dates of the various sessions are laid out. Once again, all the sessions are recorded, so if you have any kind of a scheduling conflict, that's not an issue. The other thing that you get before I wrap this up is the thing that is extremely valuable is you also receive 20 article templates, which is basically, I go into much more detail than what I gave you for this Three Crucial Keys template, but you get templates which show you how to lay out an article and even a full example article written in using that format. You also get approximately 30 title templates. Because a lot of times, if you can come up with a title, you can come up with an article.
That's true. I've done that myself.
And one final thing, it's called the 90 Articles in 90 Days Traffic Challenge. You do not have to create 90 articles in 90 days. A lot of people created 5 articles but had a totally breakthrough experience because they never thought they would do it, and it just opened the floodgates on what they can now see for themselves. So the 90 articles in 90 days, I respond to challenges, and I know a lot of people out there, it's like, wow, wouldn't that be great if I could do it? So that's why it's called the 90 Articles in 90 Days Traffic Challenge, and it is once again at articletrafficchallenge.com.
Well, I recommend anybody listening to this do this. It is a very, very important part of your marketing. And if you're a virtual assistant and you are working at a highly technical level for your clients, you need to know how to do this for them. My firm, we do this every day. We write articles. We create, we do the submissions. We repurpose them. Our clients will give us an idea and off we run with it. You need to learn how to do this. If you want to be a successful VA, I'm telling you, this is a very, very important part of your training. So this is an offer that I think you need to take advantage of. Rob, I have a quick question. I'm looking in the chat room, and most of the people today, which is interesting, are in the chat room. It's a very active place right now.
Mm.
Monique has a question.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to know, should articles and blog posts be the same, similar, or different?
That's a really good question. The way I would answer that is, number one, what is the personality of your blog? What do people come to you on a blog for? Now, the reason I'm asking Monique that question is, you know, I've said before that article marketing tends to be short, concise, get in quickly, deliver value, get out quickly, get them to your website. Now, your blog, if people are coming to your blog, and in certain cases, that's what they're looking for. But in certain cases, if people are looking for a little bit more depth, if they've come to know you and your blog as being kind of a deeper experience, you can take that same article, and what you can do is use it as a foundation to actually go deeper into the subject. The other thing that I would ask is who reads your blog? Is your blog primarily people who already know you? Or do you want your blog to be a place that converts people? And when I say converts people, I mean from looky-loos into subscribers. So if the second is true, what I would do is I would keep that format on the keep that short, punchy format, because that's what people who are looking to subscribe tend to be looking for. So it depends on what the personality of your blog is and the people that come to your blog, whether they're existing customers or new people. The other thing that probably takes a much longer discussion is this whole question of duplicate content. You know, if I have content in an article directly on my blog, And a lot of, you know, this is a debate, this is kind of like one of these debates where it depends who you talk to. A lot of the article marketers who I highly respect, who have literally built six-figure businesses from their articles, have said that what the duplicate content penalty, there are two kinds, and again, this is a longer discussion, so I'm going to laser this. The first part is something called mirror content. And a lot of people who are article marketers, let's say, will write an article. A mirror content means the article is pretty much exactly the same, but you insert two or three different words to inject it into a different market. For example, three crucial keys to building your dental practice, three crucial keys to building your medical practice, three crucial keys to building your coaching practice. If you have that same article with just coaching, dental, medical change, that's mirror content, and that will get you a duplicate content penalty. The other thing I have heard is that if you put the same article multiple places within your domain, so let's say I have audaciousaudio.com/articles, and I put an article there, and then I host my WordPress blog at audaciousaudio.com/blog. That would be the same article on my same domain. That is a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're trying to do with your content is to make it viral. And if a lot of people pick up your content and post it on their sites, one, it means that they're voting for your content. They're saying this is high-quality stuff. And two, that's really what you're trying to do. So the people who I trust, who again are highly successful, say in those cases that there is not a duplicate content penalty. Now, one final way to wrap up this discussion. If you are just starting to post articles to an article directory, and that would be, let's say you have 10 or less, I would put a post on my blog, but I would differentiate it. And the reason is, if you have a great article on an article directory, they're going to come to your website, and they may go to your blog. And if you don't have a lot of articles, and they come to your blog, and right at the top is that same article, it might be kind of a turnoff. It's almost like coming to someone's blog, and they haven't posted since, you know, June of last year.
Right.
It's like, okay, I don't know. It's a turnoff.
Well, so it's hard to take them seriously.
Exactly.
They have absolutely no credibility at that point.
Right. So I hope that's been helpful. But the whole it's a longer discussion. But I hope I've given Monique some things to run with.
You have. I mean, she's saying thank you in the chat room. She's very grateful for that. And I know we're just about out of time. Actually, we're not even streaming anymore. They're still in the chat room talking away. But we are recording, and I don't want to miss this last question. We were talking about this earlier, again, before the show started. Sorry. I don't know why. After a while, I just can't talk. There's got to be I don't know. You know, do you think it's psychopathic or whatever it is? But anyway, we were talking about the four mistakes that entrepreneurs make in building the audience for their passive revenue products. Could you touch on that just really quickly?
Sure. And the good news is most of these aren't rocket science. And, number one is really not doing it.
Oh.
Building your audience is a project in itself. If you make building your audience a project, it will take off. Now, when I say making it a project, I don't mean, God, I have another project. How can I handle another project? Oh, my God. I mean persistence and consistency. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this with the original article traffic challenge of persistence and consistency and how that can help something take off. When I created the article traffic challenge, I brought on one affiliate, and it was perfect for his audience. So I started getting a lot of sales from his audience. An affiliate is someone who promotes your product for you, and they basically get a percentage of the sales that they make to their audience. That's what an affiliate is. But what happened was I started getting emails not from people who wanted to buy the product, but for people who wanted to be an affiliate. So what I did is I set up a little system where I could literally, in 10 minutes, I could have them set up as an affiliate. But once I started getting requests, I could have said, oh, my God, this is overwhelming. I can't handle it. But I made it a project. Yes, you can be an affiliate. I need you to agree to these things. You know, you're not going to spam people, and you're going to do it ethically if you agree to that. Here's your, you know, here's your affiliate link. Here are materials to market yourself with. Boom. Now, you can do the same thing with building an audience. But you have to be persistent. You have to be consistent. You know, Monday is my article writing day. Tuesday is article submission day. Wednesday is my day for getting ideas. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I take off. Monday, it happens again.
Right.
Second thing, building your products before building your audience. Building your products before building your audience. Because I love creating products, this was one of my mistakes. Again, I have a great idea for product. You can even have a great product, and if you don't have an audience, it doesn't matter because you can't.
I have that talk every day with people and say it doesn't matter. You may have the greatest thing since sliced white bread. If you don't have people who are looking for it, who know about it, who need it, and can find you, you're going to have a lot of sliced white bread on the counter. But it's not going to go anywhere.
That's true. The third mistake is what I call pontificating, not providing. Pontificating, not providing. Pontificating means, you know, I am Rob Schultz. I've been working with audio for years. And as I look to the future, I see, you know, horizons of video bursting forth. You know, it's like a Seth Godin thing where you're kind of like the oracle. And for Seth Godin, that's, as long as people are looking to you for pontification, that's cool. But most of us, people are looking to us for results, nuts and bolts things.
Mm-hmm.
So until you have a pontification market, limit your pontification. Provide people with what they are looking for. And the other thing is, which dovetails on the second point, is when you're providing information, have this pipeline, have this breadcrumb trail. Okay, so then they go to your article, they opt in. What happens after they opt in? Autoresponder sequence. What does your autoresponder sequence do? Does it funnel them to products? So, and this doesn't have to be complicated, but just put some thought into providing this pathway. So the third mistake is when you pontificate and you don't provide. And the fourth, I kind of jumped the gun.
I call that the blowhard syndrome.
Oh, talk about that?
No, I call that the blowhard syndrome.
Oh, the blowhard syndrome,
I come
yeah.
across those people every now and then, and I think, why are you doing this? What are you offering? I mean, this is really unattractive. Why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gone.
Yeah. It's very, very, very true. Now, the fourth point is I kind of jumped the gun on this a little bit. Your audience is not inserted into a strategically designed conversion pipeline. And that sounds so mechanistic and not very human, but that's what it is. And you are, unless you have figured out a way not to sleep, there's only so much time in the day you have. That's the first thing. Number two, if you're providing value, people don't care whether they get the value in a mechanized system. If you can change someone's life, at least this is how I operate, if you can change my life, it's easier to go down when you can change my life with a smile and a pat on the back. But if you can change my life and you're very impersonal to me, I'll take that too. So now I'm not saying to be impersonal to people. What I'm saying is that a lot of entrepreneurs, especially what I would call entrepreneurs in the heartfelt helping professions, coaching, finding relationships.
Virtual assistants.
Oh, okay, virtual assistants too.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I can't conversion. It just sounds so unhuman, and, you know, I need to love them and be nice to them. And you can have a strategically designed conversion pipeline, and that pipeline will shower them with so much love and so much wonderfulness that they'll be in heaven. And it will also convert them from looky-loos into customers so
right.
that you can pay your mortgage or your rent, and they can go on and do what they need to do. So basically it's this step-by-step, article to opt-in to autoresponder sequence, autoresponder mm-hmm. sequence to offer. There's always something next. And when people don't have a what's next, it stops.
Exactly. And this is where you go find people like me or Rob who can help you, you know, who take those ideas and help you run with them. The beauty about the internet is you don't hit a wall unless you hit a wall in your own mind. There's always somebody who can help you. There's always somebody that has a great idea or has that product that is just perfect. And I'm going to be one of your students. I might as well tell you right now. I'm going to be signing up because even though I do write a lot of articles, some of the steps that you've given me, I don't take them, and shame on me. So there's absolutely no reason for me not to know what I should know. And I'm going to be, you know what, I'm going to just set up a contest right now. I'm going to beat everybody in the class.
Okay.
So let's just start a challenge. try to catch up with Denise. let's see what we can do with this one. Y'all come on, and we'll just have a little challenge here. Anyway, I think that answers all of the questions. And, boy, we covered a lot of territory today.
We did. It was, I have really enjoyed talking about this because, I mean, one thing, Denise, is you have such a high level of integrity and you perform at such a high level that, you know, you attract the audience you attract also, whether they're performing at a high level or not, you know, this type of information, it's a joy to be able to provide because I know that the audience, that your audience is ready and willing and waiting to receive it and that it really strikes a chord with them. So I just wanted give you that acknowledgement the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree and that it's a really a reflection on you as well.
Well, thank you. That is very kind. Well, I have absolutely enjoyed being here with you today, and I would like to have you back as a guest after the challenge ends. Well, I'm calling it a challenge, but it's not. It is the 90-day articles and 90-day challenge. So you can crown me queen. So you can say, well, Denise did it. She beat everybody. I'm kidding. But I would like to have you back after the challenge ends for a lot of your students and have some success stories.
Would love to do that.
I think that would be great. I think we can take some of these people and say, listen, we started not knowing at all what to do. Rob walked me through it. Now look at what I've done. You know, Google me. I'm everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what I would like to see. So let's set up a time, you know, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months down the road, and come back and revisit this.
I would love to do that.
Oh, good. I'm excited. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a tremendous privilege, and it's been an honor to have you share so much. And I know we went over time, and I'm really thankful that you took the time. And I appreciate your wisdom and your sincere generosity. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, doing another call when it's time for you to say, look how this did. I mean, I really can't wait to hear from some of your students. So thank you all for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths wishing you a wonderful day, and I look forward to seeing you next Friday. Have a great weekend, y'all. Bye-bye.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.